Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. Play now at supercoach.com.au.
Triple M's Rush Hour podcast is brought to you by Buy Property Direct, your complete property investment partner. Free booklet available now.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I don't know what to do. I got a big problem.
Put moron number two on the phone.
I'm going to give you another one.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, the weekend's over, Willis. We're back on a Tuesday. Richard Marsden Studios here in South Melbourne is where we are. And a big show coming your way, Damien Barrett. Every time we have a big round of footy, in he comes. He tells us what's working and, as importantly, what's not working.
That's it.
So you're going to hear that from Damo shortly. Second hour, we've got an amazing midwife to the stars.
Ooh.
She comes in, tells us what you do, what you don't do, takes some of your calls. That's going to be fantastic. Bill nominates his Australian of the Year.
Yep.
Already, we're not even halfway through.
Yes, Jim.
So a big show coming your way. Don't go anywhere. Next 2 hours, you're clocked and locked in. Hello, Bill.
G'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners. And g'day, Dangerous.
Still a big fan of the gay type.
Oh, no. What's happened
the Duke.
There?
The Duke.
The awkward. Oh.
What about his performance on the slide?
I missed it. What did he do?
He was worst on comfortable.
Oh, right.
Yeah, just flattened it right out. Everyone else trying to be entertaining and give the crowd something. And then the Duke, and I must say, our man, the Wolf wasn't great either, but the Duke was by far the worst in so much as just flatline.
Oh, well, I tell you, it was by far the worst. The front page there, all sun, the Foss there.
What about the rig?
And then you turn in a couple of pages, there he is with the, like a G-banger on with his, wobbly bum.
And the badge pointing at everyone.
Jim, we don't need the sheriff's badge.
The old squid's eye. Anyway, we'll move on from that to the superstar that is Chris Judd today. Yes. And he fronted a press conference. Everyone knew it was coming and they knew why it was coming, but it was still very interesting. Have a listen to what he had to say.
By now, I'm sure you've worked out I'm here to announce my retirement from AFL football. I thought 99% once I'd hurt myself that it was an ACL, and not for a second did I think I was going to play another game of footy once that news was confirmed.
So I think we all knew that at the time, but he then went on. Have a listen to what else he had to say.
Clearly it was the wrong decision to go on. I know some people get tempted in times like this to try and spin everything positively. As it turned out, it was the wrong decision, but it was very much made for the right reasons.
Very honest, very humble, Jim.
I like that.
Very honest, very humble, but also I think it was I that asked him, why did it take so long to get off the ground?
I was just trying to get off the ground, but the umpires wouldn't stop the game. I said, look, my knee's stuffed. You need to stop the game. They say we can only stop the game if the stretch comes out. So we called the stretcher out and didn't get carried out on a chariot but on a medevac. So that's how it ended. But you don't get to write your ending.
279 games, Jim, and premiership player, Brownlow medal, MVP, All-Australian, 5 best and fairest.
Superstar. Simply put, for me, Bill, the best midfielder I've ever seen play the game. And that's Gary Ablett Jr. included.
All right.
Just a phenomenon, Chris Judd. But what else did you pick up?
Well, this is what got me, Jim. He's always been a bit out there, a bit different. And that's what you love about him.
Is.
And have a listen to this and try and work this out.
You know, I think it's often said that anyone who's born in Australia wins the ovarian lottery.
Wins the ovarian lottery.
How did that sit with you, Bill?
Well, I thought, now, Juddy, I would have given $1 million if someone said he's going to say ovarian lottery.
He's referring to how lucky we are to be born in this magnificent country.
Well, why wouldn't he say that? It's saying bloody ovarian lottery.
I don't know.
Mate, my ears just went bang.
Our man, the Wolf, confirming that he was disappointed with his own performance coming down the slide.
I see that. He said he could have been better.
Yeah, he could have been, should have been better. And I like that from him too, a nice self-assessment.
Doesn't do enough over the weekends for me.
No, I agree. Sunday footy show. Sucked in. Hey, what we've got is the Purple Letter Warrior to come in next. We could discuss Chris Judd with him among every other big footy topic from the weekend.
Damien Barrett, Newsbreaker.
Of course he's in. And he comes in every week after the football and gives us a good 10 minutes on exactly what is and what isn't good in our great game. Hello, Purple.
Hey, Jim and Bill and Dangerous. Purple. And I got a similar message from Gary about the time you did, Jim. Just, yep. He was a little bit disappointed with how he went down that ramp yesterday. He says he could have done a bit more. So it's good that he's acknowledged that.
As an entertainment sort of vehicle, and the Force put it out there with the man.
Because everyone else did.
Yeah. And Mick with the budgies.
Yes, Mick was good.
Gaz and the Duke. And this is, I think, the thing that sort of disappoints him the most, Gary, is that he's been lumped in with the Duke.
Yeah.
So a real flatliner, and he's had to join him. So
glass eye.
But the thing is, you've got to acknowledge when you're not up to it and put your hand up and then move on.
And you've seen a bit of him, Purple, over the weekend.
Yeah, too much of him.
Sunday,
and I'm sure he's saying the same thing about me right
Saturday,
now.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
And Friday night and Thursday night before that, Bill. And it's just way too much.
Well,
and I'm sure whatever I'm saying about him, he's saying doubly about
me. Don't need to concern ourselves with that because we got open mics in front of us and he's probably walking around the Yarra.
I'll be worried about you and the Duke.
Today, what I need to concern myself with is we had the great Chris Judd press conference, of course. Any surprise at all in anything that he said?
No, there wasn't, Jim. And you called it the moment he went down on Saturday that was it. And that little wave to the crowd, that was officially it. He decided to string it along. And I say string it along because he just wanted to be a 100% right as opposed to 99.9% right. So I love that answer he gave about it being the wrong decision too. He said people can spin, and it's just beautiful to hear someone just happily say it as it is. It's the wrong decision, and good on him for saying it. He added 7 games to his match tally, got finished on 279, and clearly would have rather stay on 272. That's just the way he is. And
what about ovary?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, and I was with you when he said that, wasn't he? And
Bill,
it was a strange one, Bill.
Just because you don't understand someone's words doesn't mean they're ill-chosen.
It was a weird phrase.
Context within why he said it, I think, wasn't there?
No, there was. And that's the way he speaks. He's got an intellect that is so far beyond, certainly my own, Bill, when you speak to him.
And it's, I'm probably gone past me, to be honest, Warrior.
Well, I wasn't going to throw
but
you.
But that's what he'll do. He'll go into the business world somewhere, won't he?
Yeah, he won't
see him in footy.
No, I have got a different view on him. And I know what he said today at the press conference, that it will be business. And yes, I think that's what he wants it to be. But he's just kept a couple of toes in footy, Jim.
Purple.
And I reckon we'll see him a little bit.
I don't.
It's very rare for someone of his standing to disappear from football totally.
No,
and,
that's true.
And we've seen this year he's just doing a few little media things. And I reckon he'll keep his hand in a small way just to have it as an option. And why wouldn't he? Because there's going to be no one better now that he's not going to be constrained by having an allegiance to a footy club. You will learn so much when that man speaks about football because he cannot a little bit. Strange when he articulates certain things, Bill, about being born. But when it comes to footy, he's a superstar in so many ways. And every time you speak to him, be it over an informal chat or when it's on record, you learn something from him.
Right. So Melbourne yesterday against Collingwood, huge discussion started by our man, of course.
It was.
Onto it about the first minute it happened, and all the rest of the boxes sort of eventually fell into the impact that Oxley was having.
Yeah.
But Gaz immediately, and then the fact that there was nothing done, and then last night on television, Paul Ruse answered the question. Is that?
Yeah, pretty much so. And it revolves about, as you say, Adam Oxley just having so much free space and taking so many loose balls in the back line. And Paul Ruse's explanation post-match raised more eyebrows than silencing the whole conversation.
After half-time, it should have been equal numbers the whole second half.
What happens in that situation? You obviously radio down and say, get someone on him. How does it not happen?
That's why people don't want to be coaching. Because sometimes they don't listen to you.
Nathan Jones was on Footy Classified last night too, Jim and Bill, and we put that very issue to him and very diplomatically danced around the answer, as you'd expect him to. And look, in all honesty too, him playing in the midfield, it wasn't totally on top of exactly what should have been done. But I don't think there's too many people buying what Paul Ruse said. And I spoke again and had another conversation, another media thing with Gary this morning, and I don't think he is either. I don't want to take words out of his mouth, it's him to say it, but it was a strange comment, Jim.
Well, it is hard to believe that you can't get a runner to, you know, whoever it is, and say, mate, wherever you are on the ground now, I want you to leave that part of the ground and run 150 metres and stand next to the bloke who's wearing 43 and don't move away from him. I mean, that can't be a hard message to get out there. And once it's out there, if the bloke's not doing it, then all hell breaks
loose.
That's right.
Well, on top of that too, Jim, the video evidence suggests that there was not a man assigned to the task. Now, if it was, that, as Gary said, that man, that player, whoever it should have been, needs to be dropped and maybe have his papers fully stamped forever at Melbourne Footy Club.
I get, you know, the other thing I heard Paul say was that he was disappointed with his forwards not working harder in a two-on-one to bring it to ground, a la Stephen Mayne, and, you know, contesting and holding in and keeping it there. Sorry, Chris Mayne, Stephen's the old man. Yeah. And making sure it doesn't exit the area. So I get that. And I think that's a justified thing. So therefore, you're saying, all right, we'll concede the extra number, but we thought our forwards were poor at not, you know, working harder. That, I get that bit. But to say we wanted even numbers but couldn't get them over a half a football, I mean, that just sounds very strange to me.
Yeah, I think we're calling Paul Ruse on that one, I think, as a collective on that issue. The Pies, who won the game yesterday and have now gone to 7-3, Bill.
7-3.
Still cannot get a proper read on them for what it's worth.
I know.
You look at the ladder and you think, wow. Mate, and
but all you can do is beat who you come up against, and they're 7-3.
But if you look at who they've beaten, initially we put Essendon in the tick zone as it being a good win, and I think we now take that tick off and just put a question mark on it. If you look at the seven, North Melbourne, and there's still question marks over North for what it's worth. We'll get to that in a minute, Jim. But so you could actually say they've really only won one game of any note. Now, they've got a very hard stretch coming up, and we'll know then.
But that's not their fault.
It's not their fault, but let's just deal in the reality of it, Bill. GWS, then a bye, and then, this is where we'll know.
Righto.
Fremantle, Hawthorn, Port, out of the bye. So if they probably go
GWS
2-2 on that, they're still going to be 9-5 and very, very nicely placed.
They've got
the
wins on the
finals.
Board, mate. You cannot have anything
I'm
else
just
than
stating,
wins
Bill,
on
the wins
board.
Have been against the lower
but
teams.
But they're gold at the minute.
Of course they are.
They're gold.
Of course they are.
They're gold always. Yeah. Not just at the minute.
Or do you want to say it now, Jim?
What I did, I said to him, I'm driving out to the airport. Willis,
and I was driving out to see Chris Judd.
To go to Hobart. I said, Purple.
It was one of those serious voices.
The serious voice.
Yeah, I got that one. Yeah.
Get the keys into the ignition of that bus and get it out of Arden Street where it doesn't belong and take it somewhere else.
Where it did belong.
And I said it'll stay there until at least the final siren.
Get it out, Purple.
That serious voice.
It was a serious voice.
That he had on last week when they got beaten.
Get it out.
Yes, that one.
He had the serious voice last week.
I'm presuming it's gone.
Well, we'll get to the...
I haven't seen it anywhere down
there. We'll get to the bus.
Bill likes to do the buses later in this segment.
Later, because everyone hangs on it.
We'll get to that segment.
Do they, Bill?
Especially Gary.
Having said that, it was an impressive performance, particularly that last 35 to 38 minutes. Yeah. What I love, Jim, and it's probably got lost a little bit, Brent Harvey's involvement. Now, the post-match talk has been how he knocked the ball out of Matt Prittis's hand and got a 50-metre free kick, a 50-metre penalty when he shouldn't have, and let's just face it. But to call him a cheat, as some people are doing, and I know it's a more social media comment than anyone of any seriousness, Oh, look, it was just a wily old player
just
doing what he did.
Just what said? It was a bit cheeky. Good on him.
Then followed up on Twitter saying that the haters actually have motivated him. But
well done.
Interestingly, Andrew Swallow has commented yesterday at the post-match recovery that having Brad Scott not there and Darren Crocker there just provided a little bit of a refresher for the whole club.
Although we miss Brad and you know, want him back, it's been nice to, I suppose, freshen the place up a bit, do things a little bit differently and have a different voice.
Ooh. He was good on the weekend,
very,
Jim.
Yep, very. You know, especially when it mattered late in the game.
I'll give you one stat. 90 tackles.
90, yep.
So surely Crocs doesn't bring that. How does that work, Jim, that all of a sudden you have 90 tackles?
It was that sort of day. You know, the wind was blowing. The ball was on the ground a lot, so it was that sort of game. But, I think if you go back to Hawthorn the year before Purple, the Hawthorn players we interviewed during the time when Bolton was the coach, were very similar. They said, look, as great as Clarko is, and he's a legend now, a three-time premiership coach, it's actually not a bad thing sometimes to have someone else speaking. Mm. And, you know, they responded really well to Brendan Bolton coaching. I think that's all Andrew meant.
No, I'm not reading anything more into it other than what he said. Yeah, it's just a change.
And
hey, we don't have it.
Big challenge. Saturday night, Sydney at Etihad will be a big challenge. Hey, what about Essendon? I didn't see any of the game. I just kept looking at the scores on my phone, and it just kept getting worse and worse.
Yeah, well, the second quarter was just disastrous, and the video packaging up on all the TV programs was just horrific for everyone associated with that footy club. And
so were Geelong unbelievably good?
They were good. I think they were good. No, they were good, Bill. Let's not get too carried away. They weren't unbelievably good.
I know that, Jamie. But that's what we've heard about is Essendon, and the Cats were pretty good, by the way. But something not right there. There's no spark. There's just nothing there at all, was there?
No, there's not. And look, they were without, obviously, their captain in in Joe Watson, but there are so many players down, and nothing needs to be said more than how many players are down and how the impact of that is happening than Tom Bellchambers, who has gone in the space of probably two seasons, a potential Australian at least discussion topic to having to play VFL this week. I would have thought
he's up against Josh Walker, who doesn't even play ruck in the VFL. Yeah. He's come in and all he was told to do was just jump into Tom Bellchambers. And
Tim Watson didn't have his finest moment, I think, yesterday morning. And I say that with sincerity because I don't think he meant it to become what it became, Jim, with how he said that there was a deal being offered by the AFL, Bill, only 48 hours before the official tribunal handing down its decision. But what it did do was, again, illustrate the behind-scenes feelings and emotions attached to the whole thing. We've known that's there, but for Tim on that particular day, when all Tim had spent in the previous month was gearing up for the MND situation with Neil Danaher to I suppose, I won't say let his guard down, but just get himself engaged in conversation that he wouldn't have wanted to have had and was quickly shot down by the AFL within an hour of him saying it, or less than that, actually. But, yeah, so look, it wasn't great. But again, it just highlighted where that footy club was at. Stevie J, Bill, back to form and getting closer to your goal record.
What, three or four?
Four.
I knew you'd be shattered with that, Bill.
You've got to centre more. He's bloody trying to kick goals all the time now.
Well, Bill, he'd only be minutes away from you now. Mm. How many?
Oh, I think it's under 10. But he can't keep kicking goals. He's got to give them away. He's better when he's more of an assist player.
No, he's not. Let him spray him away.
Well, he needed it. He needed it because he hadn't been going that well. I thought he might have been dropped at some stage. He might have been dropped.
You were telling me off when I actually dared to query his form.
He's getting close to my record. But they were really good, the old boys. That's going to be interesting because you've got James Kelly playing unbelievable footy. And we spoke about this. Corey Enright playing great footy. Stevie J. Mm. And one or two of them are going to have to.
So they all survive now, Bill?
No, well, I don't think they will, but it's going to be an interesting call.
Leadership, some very demonstrative elements and examples of that on the weekend. Jim, Alistair Clarkson, half-time.
Yes.
Barged onto the ground, and even though they were always going to win that game against St Kilda, made sure they kept focused, as he did again at three-quarter time. And Travis Boak, it was something that happened after the game, and Ella Paddy Carlisle has given it a context today about what he said. He basically went them for not playing that well after their win on the weekend against the Western Bulldogs. So
a big horsey Longmire, I saw came down and gave him a nice blast.
He gave him a big blast horse.
So was it two like again? Well, I don't know, but if you're a lip reader, Bill.
Go on, Bill.
No, I don't know who it was.
If you read lips, there was a word he kept using.
Yeah. Michael Tuck.
A lot in the sentence.
I tell you what else, and we were big on this on Sunday. The injury list to the Gold Coast Suns, we've got no idea here in Melbourne, and to the Brisbane Lions is nearly as bad. Mm. We just don't.
Where'd you get that information from, Bill?
Fox footy, you know I did.
Did you
but
see
they
that?
Did a comparison.
He referred to a graphic board on
put
our
a
show
board up on the
and
channel
said, well, I just stole it off Fox footy. He said that on air.
You can't be doing that.
No, I did.
But at least he attributed.
Yeah.
No, that's
it was a great comparison because they put all the Suns players are out and they compared them to the Sydney players. And if they were out, so it'd be Buddy and Parker and McVeigh and all that. Mm. And when you look at it like that, you go, that's actually not a good, bad comparison.
Jim, you've got four boys.
Yes.
Would you? I get the impression, having spoken to you in recent years about another, I reckon you want a fifth one, don't you?
No.
Jack Zeeble, I reckon you would
like
to
adopt.
No, he's
my favourite. Don't worry. He's my favourite. But he's got a few attributes missing if he wants to quite get to the Brayshaw sort of.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was great.
Swagger?
I thought he was great.
Hadn't got the swagger.
He needs a little more of that.
I tell you, hey, speaking of Brayshaw, come on the rush hour and then next week you get the NAB Rising Star.
Yeah.
He was outstanding yesterday.
Because Hogan was on the week before.
That's right.
Is that how
he got it? I think everyone you'll find that have been on this year have won something.
So you get them on the week before they get it.
Yeah. That's what we do.
Very good boy, and
great.
I thought he was terrific on the weekend.
He was.
And very, speaking of humble, he could do with a little more swagger too. A bit straight lining, a bit humble, a bit sort of, thanks very much, Uncle James. I'm like, mate, get up and about a bit. Get a bit of head wobble about your act, purple.
Maybe you've taken all those qualities out of the genes, Jim. Because your brother is the most humble person.
And you know what, Wish? You are getting worse.
Shut up, fat.
You are getting fatter head.
No, you are, Jim.
Shut up.
Fatterer, more swaggerer, and more.
I've nearly had enough of you.
Cocky.
Cocky.
Take over this whole show myself.
Anything else, Damo, before we.
Drive your fat ass out of here. Well, where are the buses going?
We go to buses.
Oh, here we go.
Well, we are going to get that one out of Arden Street.
Of course we are.
And we're going to send it to Essendon Fields or whatever it's called out there.
How many are out there?
Well, it's been there for a while, Jim.
John Daly,
but we're going to put another one out there. That club with a couple of very tough matches to come is in the situation where it just needs something good to happen, and the bus will be there to
right.
see where it goes.
I see.
On the good side, North Melbourne, yes, but the big winner for me still goes back to the first game of the round on Friday night, Richmond.
Yes, very good.
Yeah, you could have had the no vision and just listened to the commentary and thought that Fremantle won the game.
What about that?
Yeah, it was strange. It was very strange.
Basil, come on, Basil.
I'm all for keeping a game alive in a commentary sense, but not to the point where it actually distorts what's happening.
I did see that on the Class last night where he's given it the, here they come, now 40 points down.
And that was after an 8-minute stalemate.
I'm like, come on,
yes. Yeah. And another one, Sandilands, that's a mark. And it was play on. He was a bit over the
mind
top.
Mind you, I was guilty of calling Australian boats in the lead.
Yeah,
the Olympics were
at the 100-metre mark.
They mightn't have been, Bill.
It was over 1,000 metres, and Jim's called him, and here's Aussie!
And once it was a ripper charge, and it was fifth and sixth place.
Purple, you got to know your audience. Yeah. All right, Where else are the bus?
No, we're only sending one because the Carlton one's there for the whole year. Said that. And I've discovered there's no interest in the ones we initially had up on the southeast Queensland part of the country.
No, so we've brought them back.
So there's one at Carlton. We've got two at Essendon.
Same one to Freo?
No, not yet. No need for concern just yet. But we'll.
Send one to Freo.
Well, on the back of a
8-1 belt.
Got belted, they did.
I thought they
didn't
won.
Look like winning. Mate, that's their problem. If they're five goals down, they're never going to win.
Hey, good to see you, Purple. See you Wednesday for the midweek rub.
See you then.
Now, Jimmy boy, I've already got the Australian of the Year.
It's not till next January, Bill.
Jim, I don't care. It's sewn up right now. And his name is Matty Dellavedova.
Maryborough's finest.
Maryborough's finest. Top population of 7,600, Jim.
Yes.
It's a gold mine town.
Bill, I've just been there.
I know. And they've found a gold nugget here, my friend.
Yes.
Now he is on everyone's lips right now in the world, Jim. Not just Australia.
Bill, I watched last night when I got home, Mike and Mike, one of my favourite shows on ESPN, which is a breakfast radio show that's basically the most powerful sports radio show in the country that they broadcast
and?
On television. 15 minutes straight on Matty Dellavedova.
I'm telling you, Jim, he's the reason why the Cavs defeated the Warriors yesterday. Kept Stephen Curry, who's a superstar, did not score a point while Matty Dellavedova was on him, Jim.
Unbelievable.
He's a great Aussie.
Mind
he's
you,
tough.
Bill, I haven't won the series yet. Only two games.
He's tough. He's hard. He loves the green and gold of Australia. He loves a barbecue, a Carlton draft on tap, and loves having a quaddie on the weekend, Jim.
Yes.
He's Australian through and through. Matty Jim, he is Australian of the year.
I was hoping you'd have another go at
him. He's Australian of the year, Matty is.
Well, Bill.
Yes.
So what's the question you're asking?
Oh, hang on. Jimmy boy, I'll tell you, 133353. If you can give someone else an Aussie Matty.
What?
Someone else that should be Australian of the Year other than Aussie Matty. Give us a ring now on 133353.
What is that?
I'm still on the long weekend, Jim. So give us your nominations for Australian of the Year, but I've already got it sewn up, and it is our boy Matty from Maryborough.
Matty from Maryborough.
That's him, Jim.
Well, ring us. 133353 is the number. If you can nominate anyone who deserves... In June, by the way, be Australian of the Year more than Matty Dellavedova. Get on the phone, 133353. Who's your nomination for Australian of the Year?
Oh, look at him, Jim.
We've had 85 people already texting, tweeting, Facebook, Instagram, call it whatever you like. They've all said, can you please give us the best of Bill's phone topic setup from just a few moments ago?
We're talking about the great basketballer, Matty.
Matty Jim, he is Australian of the Year.
I was hoping you'd have another go at it.
He's Australian of the Year, Matty is.
Well, Bill.
Yes.
So what's the question you're asking?
Oh, hang on. Jimmy boy, I'll tell you, 133353. If you can give someone else an Aussie Matty.
What?
Someone else that should be Australian of the Year other than Aussie Matty. Give us a ring now.
I'll tell you right now.
On holidays, he is.
I think he is. Anyway, 133353. The family know what you're talking about. Pedro's first from Blackburn North, Willis.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Pedro?
Oh, definitely. I watched the game yesterday before the Mighty Pies got up in the afternoon, guys. But, yeah, I watched Della Dover.
Get it right, Pedro.
Write that down.
Absolutely annihilated him defensively. Put up a couple of shots that I was like, oh, what are you doing? Yeah. Missed them completely, but the defensive job was brilliant. But one thing, boys, I just hope Tony Abbott doesn't get a say in the end matter because we'll probably end up with another royal member of the family.
That's true.
Spot on.
We don't want that.
So you're saying, Matty, from Castlemaine?
Hands down.
I like that. No worries. Yeah, Gerard is in Aspendale. Gerard?
Yeah, g'day, guys. There was a West Australian the other day who just waltzed out to the middle and peeled off 130 on out and became the oldest ever test player to debut with 100. That's Adam Vogue.
Yeah, how good was he? He was absolutely brilliant, I thought. I agree with you. That's an early nomination for Australian of the Year. 35 debut and a century.
And did it tough too because they were struggling, the Aussies. Yep.
He had to knuckle right down. A good nomination, that is. Pete's in.
Harry Warren.
Pete?
Yep. Yeah, how are you, guys?
Good. Australian of the Year nomination, please.
And I have actually literally nominated him. Neil Danaher.
The other guys are good, but
Neil Danaher takes the cake.
Actually, can't argue with that.
No, you cannot argue with that. That is spot on, Pete. What is it up to now? 2.1 million?
2.2, I reckon.
2.2 million.
Even higher.
Sensational.
No.
In fact, it might even be more than that. It might even be up around 2.5.
How many interviews? He's done all the interviews. Yeah. He's spoken to everyone.
You know what he said to me the other day? What? In the green room when he came in to do the footy show. There's only one radio show I haven't done.
One.
Yep.
Who?
Ours.
Hasn't he been on
with us? Why
haven't we got him on?
I know.
And he's going on a holiday, I think.
Well,
he needs a holiday.
Yeah, exactly. So somewhere warm. His performance has been astounding.
No,
so, Pete, there's no doubt about that. Paul's in Kilmore. Paulie?
Yeah, gentlemen, I'm going with Georgia Page, the Aussie girl from Lismore who's playing rugby for Lindenwood University in the States.
Yes.
First tackle of the game, broke her nose.
I saw a photo of that.
Yep, blood everywhere, got back up, back in the line, kept tackling, kept playing, and then, finally the blood rule took her off. But, just demonstrated all qualities you'd expect in any sports when running Australian.
I like that.
What's her name? Georgia Page.
Georgia Page, yep.
Good on you.
I don't think we can argue with that either, Paulie. Exactly. I saw the photo, I didn't see the story. Well done. Mm. Andrew in Healesville, Bill.
Hey, Andy.
Yeah, James, Bill. It's got to be the man who he missed out on the King of Moomba this year.
Yeah.
It's got to be Mick.
Mick
Malloy.
It's got to be Mick, mate. Anyone who can go head first into a thing of ice.
Yeah.
In the budgie smugglers? In the Wasp budgie smugglers, Richmond budgie smugglers.
I liked it. I must admit, I liked the way he operated yesterday. He had the cape, he had the long gear on, and then he produced the Usain.
He hasn't won anything else yet.
No, that's true. Yeah. He produced the Usain Bolt, and then off it came.
I liked all the theatre around what
Mick did. He provided great theatre.
Yeah, exactly.
And entertainment.
Unlike
a couple of our blokes. Who went about it in a lot more sort of flatline, sort of boring fashion.
Who's that old guy?
Mick.
And there was another good one there I saw that didn't get Chris Judd. Could be another great nomination, Jim.
No one would argue. Twitter's blown up. NRR says, I think Bill needs a bye.
Who said that?
Marksy says, Bill needs a spell, career worst. Henry Parks, very special stuff from Fat, one smooth operator. Dover. Maybe Jim needs to run the show solo for a day or two. I think Bill may need a spell, says
Kirky.
You
wouldn't be able to do it.
Bill.
You wouldn't be able
just
to.
Just the speaking it. Thing. I think what happens with you the long weekend is that you have your consumption's high.
Yeah.
And then you have a day when you come back where you're not at your best.
Well, Jim, you know what happened yesterday? I walked down to the Bot.
Yes.
I thought I'd watch the Collingwood-Melbourne game.
Nice.
Guess what?
What happened?
Bot not open.
Oh, come on.
Come on, Bot.
Queen's birthday.
The Botanical Hotel wasn't open.
Jeez.
So I went with Big Barry and we found another pub, Barron's, the Paran Hotel, Jim.
Oh, no.
We just settled in there.
You went there to watch the footy, did you?
Went there and watched the footy. And it was such a good game, I couldn't leave till the end.
Yeah, really?
Then ran into Mark Dawson.
Righto. Big Smokey.
Smokey, he bought us a couple.
Nice.
And we finally got home. Did you? Finally did got you, Bill? Jim.
Well, so that might explain where we're at today. But I'll tell you what we need to do, and that is celebrate the great career of Chris Judd, one of the all-time greats. He will retire as one of the greats our game's ever seen.
Yes.
And he's given us great highlights too during these games for radio consumption, Willis.
Yep.
So our production staff, Maddie's put a beautiful package together of the best of Chris Judd. Enjoy.
Give it to Judd. Run inside 50. Make a difference, the skipper. Have a look at him.
What a
goal.
Here's
a superstar this point.
Paddles it down. Judd, magnificent.
Roberts Thompson was pretty good. A little fumble. Judd off goal. The ground has kicked the goal.
Chris Judd, the 2004 Brownlow medalist.
Now it comes to Judd. Judd with a handball inside the Betts. This will bring the roof off the G. Judd, the instrumental one. You heard Gary's call.
I declare the winner of the 2010 Brownlow medal. Chris Judd.
A Judd pickup. A ledge of bombing.
Oh, no.
Look at the superstar.
Oh,
Judd.
Judd. Around him.
The best ever.
Oh, I tell you, Gaz.
Gaz loved him from day one.
He did explode the front out of the old Jodpers when Juddy got up about.
What about that draft, Jim? I know we talk about Luke Hodge,
yep.
Luke Ball, Chris Judd.
Yeah, they're fair trio.
Haven't they been sensational?
Yep. And they knew it at the time, too. If you go back to when they were all drafted, all of the the people around all the footy clubs knew how good those three were going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant.
So
absolutely.
All best and fairest, all Australians.
And all Ripper
players,
blokes, too.
And all really good blokes. Yep. And that's the other thing with Chris Judd.
Yeah.
A lot of people that know him really well say, great player, but even better bloke and things
champion,
like that.
And very, very understated.
Mm.
So loves taking the piss.
He does.
That's what he mainly likes.
Footy show Thursday night?
Yeah, he'll be on.
So when he went to Perth, Jim, he played one game with East Perth, didn't he? Round one?
I think so.
Had 45 touches.
And that was it.
And I think the coach at the time said,
me the boy from the grammar.
No, that's the last we'll see of him. Yeah. And I don't think he ever played reserves again.
I couldn't believe he would. No. I couldn't believe he would, Willis. An absolute superstar. So we celebrate there. Now, next we get Kath in here. This is midwife to the stars.
I know.
But so much more attached to this amazing lady. So we're going to chat to her on the Rush Hour. It's our great pleasure to welcome midwife Kath into our studio, Bill.
Well, who's midwife Kath?
She's an extraordinary lady, has had her career of being an unbelievable midwife, and now has branched out into her own business, which is midwifekath.com.au, which we're going to ask her about. But firstly, welcome, Kath.
Thanks, James.
So you've been the midwife to the stars. We know that you've had all of these amazing footballers and their beautiful partners and their kids. You've been able to help them
deliver their babies.
So, and Juddy's important because he's just retired and he's won.
Yeah, he is. Delivered both Oscar and Billy.
Yep.
Fabulous people and great babies. And good parents, too. Fabulous parents.
Let me just say this, Kath. Having had four of them myself, as has Bill, the midwife is, for me, they were all quite long, 12 to 24 hours, the midwife is the centre of your universe.
That's right. I mean, we manage the labour for the doctor, and if there's any concerns, we call them to come in, so... Yeah.
No, you're fantastic.
I think people who have had babies understand midwives and what
how
we do.
Because
the bloody doctor comes in and
gets the cigar.
Dilated five, 2 inches.
Right, two of ours, Billy had his golf shoes on.
Yeah, exactly.
Walked in with his bloody golf shoes on.
And then goes back to play the back nine. And then the biggest bill comes from him. Don't worry about that. But also, midwife Kath, you're specialised in baby feeding.
Mm-hmm.
And also sleep issues, which I reckon a lot of couples nowadays seem to have sleep issues, and a lot of couples go to various hospitals or whatever and have these sleeping sessions.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Well, I like to think that I can prevent that. Mm.
No, she doesn't.
Well, she's saying it nicely.
Well, it's best to prevent that. So you start off with a really good routine from day one, which I get the dads involved in. And that then builds on that structure to actually have a good, settled baby. If there's any sleeping issues as the baby gets older, you can deal with them. But I can usually deal with them within the hour of consultation.
Bare dinkum.
Yep.
So and they should be done at home, not going to a hospital or something
like
that.
Well, it's not they should be. It's just that, you know, there's a lot of anxiety out there, and there's also a lot of confusion in the community with what to do with babies and how to put them to sleep. So when you're getting mixed messages and you're reading one book or reading another book and then looking up Google, which is a real problem, and really parenting can be quite simple. Babies are pretty hard to hurt, and you just have to be firm and consistent with them. and all, feed them.
Yeah. And also here, you've got set up birth centres in order to promote active hospital birth within a home-like environment.
Yeah.
So you're saying that you can have a birth at home? Are you pushing
that?
No.
Many years ago when I was a young midwife, I set up birth centres within a hospital. So it was they were a home-like environment within a hospital. Right. So it wasn't like a labour ward. It was, we had double beds and people could stay for 24 hours and then go.
So, Kath, as I said, four times I've been involved in this process, and I was an absolute superstar in all of them. But I'm imagining that most of the fathers weren't as good as me. You would see some men who were appalling in that environment.
I think in the past I saw some appalling, but these days the dads are fabulous and they really want to be involved. So, no, they're good. They're really good.
Are you a pain control midwife? Like, you know, because there's lots more epidurals now happening and lots more of the gas and the girls get a lot more pain control. Are you all for that?
Well, I've done the full circle. So in the birth centre, we used to do pain-free, no drugs, not pain-free, drugs, drug-free. But, you know, anything in obstetrics has moved on so much now. The epidurals are fabulous. And if we had our grandmothers all in this room, they'd be saying, go and have an epidural. Things have improved so much and they're safe and just tremendous. And the girls can have a normal vaginal delivery with an epidural.
Beautiful.
But there's a lot of fear associated with it, so that needs to be
dispelled. Enya playing in the background.
Well, maybe not anymore, Bill. That was back in our
day. No, it was in our day. It was huge.
Did you know I used to say that?
No.
I've listened to Enya for probably 400 hours in straight.
Yeah, so
in the birth centre. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Very calming, isn't it? Very calming. Oh, no, you've had enough of Enya?
Yes.
That's it.
That's all I had too for my bloody birth.
Away.
That's right. I did it all.
Kath, Bill and I always say this, having had four each, by the time the fourth comes around, with me it's Freddie, and with Bill it's little Maxie. They tend to not get quite the same specialised treatment that your first couple get.
Well, I think the parents relax a lot more. So
is that a good thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great. I think the first child we all sort of make a few mistakes and pretty anxious and, you know, sort of fuss over them a lot. But as I was saying, I'm the eighth in my family, I think...
Finnegan, plenty of Finnegan.
I didn't need Finnegan. Mate, I think I was just carrying the whole
time. I used to give the kids Finnegan and dose it up a bit. That used to seem to work, knock them out for a while.
Well, it did, Billy, but we don't use it anymore. No. We've got other techniques. Oh. We don't need the drugs with the babies. It's not that...
I better put that away.
Oh, I reckon
that and the blue stuff for their teething. What was that called?
Bongella.
Oh, crikey, we went through some tubs of that. Now, what about sex talk? Because you branch out into all sorts of things, midwife, Kat.
I do.
What age?
Sex talk with children.
Sex, yeah, not me and you.
Well, listen to Bill.
How are you travelling, Kat?
Bill.
And hello to Danny.
Sex talk to your children. At what age would you recommend? Because it's an interesting topic, this one.
It is an interesting topic. And I think when they start to ask, you know, sometimes, I mean, there's the old joke, you know, what does sex mean, Mum?
Yeah.
And the mum goes on and talks about, you know, sex, you know, boys and girls, and there's a little form and it says male or female to tick.
Supposed to be a joke.
Yes,
anyway,
I like it.
Sounds like one of mine. you should be honest.
So you should be honest and, you know, you just say exactly what happens and they don't need a lot of information.
No, right.
And they learn it. It's better to come from home to start with. They learn lots of bits and pieces at school.
And what about once pregnant, Kath? Should your wife have no interest in you at all? Which is pretty much what happened to me on four occasions.
This is a counselling session, I think.
Or should they be a little more interested?
Well,
a bit more active.
A lot of women have a really good sex drive during pregnancy.
Right. And some
A lot of men actually... worry that they're going to hurt the baby, sort of a bit like tickets on themselves.
Kath. Certainly I do.
Oh,
four of them come out with a tin there.
Bill. You are an idiot.
Shut up, Bill. I'll tell you what we're going to do now. 133353, we're giving the family access to Midwife Kath. By the way, midwifekath.com.au is the site, and we're going to talk about what you're doing there. But if you've got any questions out there for this amazing woman about your own experiences and what you're experiencing right now, 133353 with your young ones, ring us. We'll take your calls next.
She's delivered 10,000 babies over 40 years.
That's unbelievable, Bill.
Jesus.
Midwife Kath is with us as well.
Okay, and as you said, just before the break, Least Dangerous Dave, Masterclass Sleep and Settling, June 23. Where is that happening, Midwife Kath?
It's in South Yarra.
Beautiful. So book now, get online, midwifekath.com.au.
And mate, Jim has a cult following on social media and blog sites. There's our girl here. She's a superstar.
And treats parents, as you were saying to me off air, via Skype. Is that right?
Yeah, I do. Yes, wow. So I do consultations and have done, you know, all around Australia. One lady in particular in the remotest area of Australia asked who her GP was, and she said it was the flying doctor.
Yeah. Well,
this is the isolation. You know, yeah. They've got so much isolation, and for her to be able to contact me and have a phone call or a Skype, you know, helps her with her parenting.
No doubt.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got some callers here. Dan on the line first from Phillip Island. Danny, welcome.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Midwife Kath's at your disposal.
Yeah, no, it's you.
Oh, hello. There, some Dan? Phone issues there, Dan.
We might come back to that.
Hold on there, Dan. We'll get back to you in a moment.
You cut him off then, midwife.
Brad's in Northcote. Hello, Brad.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are you doing?
What do you got for Kath?
Hey, Kath, I've got a question. I've got a four-week-old baby boy at home, and he's had a lot of gas issues. We've tried infant friend. We've tried all the different positions to try and get it out of him, but just all day and all night, he's just crying and trying to push... trying to push his gas out, and seems that there's not much we can do for him.
Brad, I'd put my money on that you just need to feed him.
Oh,
Yep. Lucky. And seriously, if you think about wind or gas or farting, it's a normal body process.
Yep.
So it's not going to kill him. It doesn't hurt babies, but babies cry because of these things like wind, and we look at them with our experience and think they're in pain. So if he was in pain, he'd actually be a sick baby. So he's a well baby...
If you say feed him, but he's already having sort of 50 mils over what he's recommended to have, would you still continue to try and feed him?
Yeah, you can't overfeed a baby, but you can underfeed a baby, especially if it's a boy. Number two is you need to wrap him up, feed him, and it's so easy. It's pretty basic, and I say to all my mums, put your head in Africa and just make it easy.
I'll tell you, right, thanks. Right on, Brad. That sounds a lot like Bill.
Yeah.
What, overeats and farts a lot.
Yeah, that's right, and it pushes it out.
Looks like you're going all right.
So breast milk or formula?
Well, obviously breast is best. We all know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, some women can't breastfeed. They haven't got enough milk and they can't sustain enough milk.
Well, she's...
Bill.
Sorry.
It's unable to behave.
So breast milk is best, but yeah.
Breast milk is best, but, you know, formula is fine. It's actually milk made for babies.
Yeah.
So a lot of women feel very guilty if they have to give a baby formula, but it's okay because what's the alternative? Starvation?
Yeah. All right. Ash on the line from Dallas.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
Were you talking about Dallas in Texas or...
No, out the road here.
Northern
Melbourne. Suburbs.
Oh, well, nice. I thought we might have an international caller, Bill. Yeah. Hello, Ash. What do you got for Kath?
Yeah, g'day, boys. Kath, listen, my boy was born at 24 weeks and 5 days. He was a bit pram.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. And the specialists and that say that his lungs are developing rather well and rather quickly and stuff like that. But every time, my boy's got a football training and we take him out there and he sits in the pram and the blankets and stuff, but every time we come back, he always gets a bout of bronchitis.
How old is he, Ashley?
He is one.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested to know about his lung development as a pram baby. And I was given a website by a nurse, and she said to, she said to go on, and this will give you indications and photos on what his development will be, but it makes no sense.
No, and look, it's such an individual thing, and, you know, everyone's different, and, of course, every baby's different, and every condition's different. So your baby being 24 weeks, born at 24 weeks is very prem, and, you know, thank goodness he's well, because many years ago he wouldn't have survived.
Yeah. So, but if he's a bit not as big as the other babies would be, you wouldn't take him out in the cold, would you?
Well, you know, the cold's not going to kill him. You know, it's okay. It's just about, he may be susceptible to having some infections and, they are little and they, you know, he may not be strong enough.
24 the preemie babies, weeks. Yeah. He's preem, isn't it? Gee.
And also they take a couple of years to sort of catch up, you know, developmentally. Yeah, sure.
All right, Trav's in Epping. Trav?
G'day, boys. G'day, Kath. Just a quick question. My wife's about 8 weeks pregnant. A lot of opinions on what food she can and can't eat.
Yep.
So I was just hoping you could clear that up.
Well, I've been doing this for 40 years, and let me tell you, I've seen pregnant women smoke, drink, you know, eat absolutely everything. Mm. The thing with the food issue in pregnancy is that because some foods can cause a germ that can hurt the baby, you've actually got to explain it to everyone. You've got to teach the public. So you've just got to be careful about food. So I say eat clean, cooked food. You know, it's just easy. If she feels like she doesn't want to have it or she's worried about it, don't eat it. But going through a list of ticking off things is not the way to do it. Just say, if she feels right, she can eat it. If it's clean and cooked, don't eat out of bain-marie's. And
alcohol? Yeah.
No.
No alcohol?
No.
Absolutely none.
Absolutely none. No.
No, no darts?
No.
All right. Shocker. Thanks, okay. Trav. Hey, Kath, we were talking about this off air. When you have more than one, and I was lucky and so was Bill to have four each, by the time your fourth comes round, we were talking about how you're a bit more flippant. And for me, you know, if they fall over and it's your first one, then you're calling the ambulance. And you're bloody really concerned. By the time the fourth one comes around, you're just really only concerned that Mum doesn't find out. Bill, that's it.
No, you're spot on.
Just make sure we don't let Mum hear about that one and we box on.
Move on.
That's right.
But I always got the impression that by that stage, that's actually a much better way to bring your kids up.
It is. It is. And, you know, if you could have your second baby first, both physically and emotionally, I think we'd all be pretty sound people.
Yep. All right. So if you're about to have a little one and you're listening now, what's one of the best bits of advice you could give new parents who are going in to have that hospital experience? They've never had a baby before.
Well, as far as the hospital experience, it can be quite confusing because you get about 15 different pieces of information about one very easy thing, and that's breastfeeding. What I try to encourage, especially the dads to do, is bath the babies every night at 10 o'clock. When they come home, dress them, wrap them, give them a bottle of formula, send the mums to bed before that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so the dad gets involvement in the process. And then once a couple of weeks and the baby sort of settles down a little bit, the mum can get 5 to 6 hours sleep.
Oh,
dad goes to sleep all night. Everyone's happy.
That's true.
Exactly.
And that is the skill. If mum's happy, everyone's
happy.
That's
right. That is right.
Midwifecath.com.au is the site, so make sure you jump on that and find out about this amazing woman and what she does and what she can offer you, but also the masterclass, as we said, is coming up in South Yarra on the 23rd of June. Sleep and settling. Get onto the same website and get yourself a ticket to that. Kath, great to catch up with you. Look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Kath.
Midwife Kath, we've just had in, absolutely fantastic, brilliant, telling us about kids and the way to go about bringing them up, because especially when you're only just starting out, Bill, you've got no idea.
Well, there's no handbook.
No.
Is there, Jim? And you go by the seat of your pants, and sometime you get the mother-in-law in there, or both mother-in-laws, or both in-laws, or whatever it is.
Yep.
And they make it difficult.
Well, Willis, the birth sort of experience is an equally unique one. Because you have all of these prenatal classes teach you absolutely everything you don't need to know.
That's right.
And then you get in there and all hell breaks loose.
Exactly.
And Bill, the problem with me, with Jonathan, who's our eldest,
he's
born, I reckon I was about 25 when he was born, and I had facet joint issues with my back time I played.
Bad back.
So, Willis, I had my hands on trying to do this stupid massage they told you to do, and then got bathers on and got into the bath. Mate, I did everything.
You're in the bath?
Time, I did the lot, Bill, trying to do the right thing. Anyway, halfway through, and it was about a 23 or 24 hour.
Yeah, the first one to watch.
Took forever. Anyway, halfway through, Bill, it's gone. Back just seized up.
Your back did?
Completely gone. No. So, Bill, I couldn't move.
So you were useless.
I'm lying on the floor of this birthing suite. Mrs. B's on the bed.
Yeah.
And we had this, well, she was a strong woman, Bill, the midwife.
Yes.
And she was leaning over me, giving me the greatest pasting of all time.
Oh, mate.
She said, look at you. This beautiful woman that you've devoted your life to is going through pain trying to deliver your first baby, and you're lying here on the floor.
You're copying it.
I'm looking up going, my back's, I can't move. And even Mrs. B, to her credit, who was half drugged, you know, because she was halfway through, even she's turned to this lady and said, look, he actually really has got a bad back.
Yeah.
And she just had nothing, but she wouldn't take any of it, Bill.
Oh,
she just gave me an absolute pasting.
You don't need that.
Well, Bill, she wasn't aware, and she thought, look at this pig just lying on the ground while her wife's...
Mate, it's funny when they get drugged up, because Nikki had too much. She loved it.
Oh.
Loved the gas. She overdosed, I'm telling you.
She did.
And she's actually going, time out with the birth. Oh, no, no more. I've had enough. Oh, and we'll stop it. No,
oh, and can't be stopped.
Me and the midwife are going, well, you can't stop. Anyway, the doctor come in. She gives it to the doctor.
Yeah.
Right, and called him. Everything. Oh, like, no. Gave him a good burst. It used all the language that I never knew she'd had.
Even knew.
Exactly. Jim, did she give it to the poor old doctor? Yep. Well, and he didn't know what to do.
My old man always tells the story when we were born, which is back in the 60s, that mum, who could get a head of steam up, my mum, dear old Joni, turned around at one stage to the nurse who was trying to help her, who also happened to be a nun,
and
said, how would you know?
Come on, Joni.
Poor old midwife. Nun's trying to help out.
Hence.
133353. We're getting back to my own performance with Jonathan because I look back, Bill, and it wasn't my finest moment.
On, Jim, you give him nothing.
133353. So we want probably either confess yourself or get the female members of the audience to tell us, was your man no good?
No good.
No good in the whole birthing experience.
No.
Was he useless? And if so, how was he useless? Talking about when your man's disgraced himself at the birth of your children. And the first of mine, I must admit, I wasn't at my best, Bill.
No.
Back when I had to lie on the floor and I copped it from the midwife deluxe.
Jim.
So Michelle joins us first. Hello, Michelle.
Hi.
Where are you from, Michelle?
Karangang.
Where's that?
Near Melton.
Oh, okay.
Karangang. Right, eh?
What happened?
Oh, okay. So ex-husband. no laughing, Billy.
sorry. Yes.
He was at the birth of my son. I was a single mum. He left me 7 months pregnant. So I had him at the birth because it was something you couldn't replace or turn around and do it again.
Yeah.
And I'd known he was cheating on me. So he came into the birth. He turned the oxygen or the gas up to like 90%.
Oh, no.
Okay, and it's supposed to be pretty even, 40%, 30%, but it's supposed to be even. And I was tripping off my guts.
No way.
Tripping off my guts.
Bloody hell.
tripping off my guts, and I was calling him everything under the sun.
Yeah, I reckon you probably would have been.
Cheating husband, you name it. Anyway, so I gave birth to my son, and they go to touch his stomach to see if your placenta is coming down.
Yes.
And I thought it was him touching my stomach, and I punched the nurse.
Oh,
Michelle.
Oh.
Jeez. Well, I thought it was him.
Well, and you had plenty of gas on board by the sound of it.
She was tripping off her guts.
Her guts, Bill. I heard that. Okay, thanks, Shell. Renee's in Berwick. Willis.
Hey, Ren.
Hi, how you going?
Good. What happened with you?
Good. My partner and I, we had a January baby, and in the birthing suite, my partner, he just watched the Oz Open final.
Did he contribute anything to the process, Ren?
A few cheers, but it wasn't for me. It was definitely for the tennis.
It's not good enough, Bill. Watch tennis, especially if, boring tennis.
Oh, I know. Actually, you got to plan it around the cricket. Like, there'd be good time now with the West Indies tour on.
Why is that, Bill?
Well, you'd sit up and watch that, Jim. All night.
Oh, come on. Ash, thanks, Ren. Ash is in Somerville. Ash?
Ash. G'day, boys. How you doing?
Good, Ash.
What happened?
Good. Well, like Billy, I'm not real good with the technology, and at the birth of my first, about 15 years ago, doing a bit of video recording. And evidently I had the cap on, which I didn't find out till later on when I went to show the missus.
You left the cap on.
The birth of the child, everyone gathers around to have a look at the video, and Dopey's left the cap on.
Right on, mate, and I'm still paying for it now.
Oh, you I bet you would.
Oh, lens cap, Jim.
Should be better than that, Ash. Jen's in Bentley. Jen?
Hi, boys. How are you?
Good, Jen.
Beautifully. What happened?
Good. It was I gave birth over sort of the lunchtime period, and the nurses brought in a roast lamb dinner for my husband and a recliner chair, and he sat and watched Days of Our Lives while I was giving birth.
No.
With a lamb roast.
With a lamb roast.
Oh, come on.
Sam Kekovic would have been impressed.
He would have been kicker.
And watched Days of Our Lives, Jim.
Oh, come on.
Oh, good on
mind
him.
Mind you, there is a fair bit.
There it is.
There it is.
Like sand in the middle the hourglass.
You can't really do much.
You can't do a lot.
That's the thing, Jen, isn't it? In the middle bit there's not much you can do as the hubby.
There's plenty they could do.
Like what?
A rub?
Look interested.
That'd help, wouldn't it?
All right, Trav's in Berwick. Trav?
G'day, boys. How are we?
Good, Trav. What happened, mate?
While my wife was giving birth to our first child, I was chatting to the obstetrician about why he drives a Ford Mondeo.
Not a BMW or a Mercedes.
Yeah, why? Why is he only driving that?
How did Mum deal with that, Trev?
Wasn't suitably impressed, and I'm still living it down to this day.
That's it.
Yeah. They never forget.
No, definitely not.
No. I forgot what I did last night, but do you reckon they forget what happened 14 years ago?
No chance, Bill. And it is all about them on that day, and so it should be.
That and the wedding, Jim. Mm-hmm.
So you just need to acknowledge that, Bill, and put yourself to one side. You would have been shocking at that.
For 21 hours, it's hard to stay interested.
You would have been.
It is.
You would have been shocking at that.
I went and got pizzas. I got a phone call saying, you better come. I think it was Oski's on his way.
Come on,
mate.
Bill.
Nice pizza.
You would have been horrific.
No, I was okay.
All right, now, Bill.
Yes. Day with a laugh. This is Billy's Joke. Get down and see the boys from Melbourne Sea-Doo at the Melbourne Boat Show this weekend for Ripper Deals.
Here we go.
The old Sea-Doo. You been down there yet, Jim?
No, because I don't sort of have any place to store any of that sort of stuff, Bill.
The bath? The boat show, has that been on yet? Or it's coming up, I think, Dangerous? That's another thing you'll have to do.
But they not only do the jet skis, they also do the quad bikes for the farms and everything. Melbourne Sea-Doo, unbelievable. Yeah. All right, how's the joke going?
Here we go. It's a beauty to start the week off. Why can't Stevie Wonder see his old girlfriends, Jim?
Why not?
He's married.
Oh, no.
Bang!
Oh, no.
Jeez. You were saying because he's blind.
No.
I can just read your lips.
No.
Because he's married you.
Read my lips even though I didn't say anything. You are in need of us. Go home and have an early night, Bill.
Yeah. No.
Otherwise, you'll be finishing up.
Back on the frothies.
Come on.
You're
done. Come on, Willis.
Stamplunkumwa.
Matty Delavadova.
Go, Matty Boy, tomorrow.
Stamplunkumwa.
Triple M's Rush Hour podcast was brought to you by Buy Property Direct, your complete property investment partner. Free booklet available now. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. You could win the holy grail of fantasy footy and 50k cash. Play now, supercoach.com.au.